Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
science experiments, YouTubes, just trying to memorize or recall, count some of the more special YouTubes, things that I've seen. Obviously, you can see them on YouTube if you care to look at them. And my aspect of it is to actually look, remember, and recount what I've seen. That sounds a bit boring for you. One of the things, a lot of really interesting things with magnets, and this is with the use of these neodymium super magnets, those little silver magnets that you can buy in bulk from China and from Banggood. And there's just a few uses of them. There's the homopolar generator, that is, it's got one field and the actual wire moves around in that field. And the classic one is you have a cell battery and a wire going up, going down to a circular magnet or cylindrical magnet at the bottom, and this oscillates. I'm just going to make sure I don't make too much clinky sound. I can hear a blue clinky sound as I'm walking along. This is my pass or whatever it is to get in at night. So that's making the sound here. See if I can get rid of it. That causes the wire to move around the magnetic field. There's this, I suppose, just a view that cutting the magnetic field lines, wire cutting the magnetic field lines, causes the force. Of course, this is all, the field lines are frictional construct to guide your mind, and obviously actually doesn't cause a force going in it. It's more a electrical field, special relativity electrical field, and this really digs to the heart of it, is that there are a lot of plausible folk explanations which get out there, and it's sort of rather hard to dispel. So I'm just thinking back into this horrible thing that I'm doing, the research paper I'm doing, trying to actually do battle with these, there's many dimensions, the historical momentum and these folk explanations. But you can see that this is one of many new approaches in science, the stuff that I'm doing, and the compilation video. There's a few things I missed and didn't quite understand, but in terms of the homopolar generator, they had a nice heart version, circular heart version, which is sort of rather nice. The shape of the wire is a circular, sorry, the heart, so the cardioid image. So that's a rather nice thing to look at. And then they had the one with two large diameter magnets at one end and small diameter magnets at the other, stuck onto an A cell battery, a AAA, a AA cell battery, and this then spun was sort of made to rotate. It rotated, and it was placed on an aluminium foil, and its aluminium foil went round and round. There was the effect of the, talking about aluminium foil, where they put aluminium foil on the base of a box, then a aluminium little foil balls, and then charged a plastic plate, which they rubbed in that charge, and things moved to it. They use the what I rather liked is the uh, use of a plastic pipe which they rubbed and used that to create an electric field and move the water coming down off a tap from off to the side and use that to move bubbles and various things. So if you have a bubble, the magnetic field from this tube can actually move, or can move the bubble about the place. One of the things that I have learnt on that is that the charge, particularly in Sydney, where it can get quite humid, doesn't work. You have to really rub it extremely hard so it heats up and dries off, or you can dry it with rubbing alcohol. alcohol first. Talking about alcohol, there was one experiment there in which they put alcohol in a bottle and the flame front would go down without blowing out the bottle, which is rather good, and be able to repeat. So this is actually a rather good experiment. One of the things I rather liked is the candle that they lit, and it blew out, and then on the top of it ignited the smoke, and the smoke went down. It was rather beautifully shown, which really shows you it's the smoke is a flammable, and there's a flame front in it. So your volatiles form your smoke, and then your radicals within your flame form the flame front. The actual burning phenomena is out at the front of that. They showed the diamagnetic effect, and this is where water is repelled by strong magnets, and showed this with a Cavendish torsion pendulum made with two apples and a skewer. You're trying to think. Oh, there was a fascinating thing about burning, getting a tube of paper suspended in a fork, and you burn it gently at the top, and the smoke actually goes down, falls down within the tube, which is, so I sort of find that a bit fascinating, in that the actual the smoke is generated not from the flame, but from the solid decomposing with heat, heat going forward. Yeah, I'm just really trying to think. There was another video of large elephant's toothpaste. Struck me that they were taking a few risks with it. It was rather interesting, the idea of the egg which sat on top of a beaker, so a conical flask with sodium hydroxide and aluminium water, or Drano, essentially produces large quantities of hydrogen. Hydrogen goes into the egg, and so you can have the egg, and you can just light the top of the egg, and just there's hydrogen diffusing out of the egg, and it heats the egg, and then so it's like a little candle flame, the egg, but then the egg explodes. And they said, you know, this is a very dangerous thing to do. I just really hope that as I'm walking home at night along the side of the freeway, you don't get too much traffic noise. So this is our main arterial freeway, and there's more cars going in from Central Australia into Sydney at the moment. I don't know, maybe just the lights coming across. Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Oh, look, there's lots of ones. It's hard to say, they're happening in such quick succession. You're just trying to absorb it. There's the, you know, just overall, I think this, it has to be said that there are people are consuming their science in different ways. So they're looking at these compilations and going forward. There's a very fascinating thing for me, which is the matches which you light and become magnetic. It's sort of the reason that is so, and the actual deeper deeper reason. So there's obviously oxidation state changes. I don't know whether it's the actual phosphorus. I don't think there's any actual iron in there. I don't think there's any evidence that carbon becomes magnetic. And so this is, so if you get a match, it's not magnetic, but if you burn it, it oxidizes and becomes magnetic, so you get an unpaired electron oxygen. So I wonder whether it's a phosphate. I can't, is there an iron in there? I really don't know. It's hard to imagine that. So this is a real struggle for me to actually recall and go through all of this. So I think the real message is that I suppose for me, in terms of that, we've gone through I suppose there's a wave, a sequence of realization where I'm just trying to actually think back to the Victorian era when scientists were a bit of a freak or held up as extraordinary. And then we've gone from the era of social direction, and now there's private consumption. So I think that may be actually a thing with it, in terms of that your YouTube is private consumption, your research is private consumption, your groups are private consumption, and this is then very well asks a lot of the logic going into the place. Sort of, we stream our kids, such we do what we normally call poor quality intelligence tests, and stream our kids into groups, and it's whether that works with the new mode of consumption of science, or the applications of science coming up to it. I'm just really trying to think. There's one of the things that really fascinated me, which I'll probably have to try at home, is the idea that you put sugar into hot water and it explodes. Now, I sort of have done some things fairly similar to that, in terms of that I have put if you could say it's an explosive thing, an explosive formation or precipitation of copper, and that's where you put copper in, it's not copper, iron, or steel wool into copper sulfate solution, hot copper sulfate solution. Now, if you heat that solution up till just, say, I don't know, even 80 degrees C, the actual increased rate of reaction, heat and temperature, means that it will explode when you put steel wool and copper wool come to it. So this is, I suppose, one of the more deconstructive things, is that if we say a compound is made out of elements, being able to extract those elements, being able to get the elements back, and obviously it's easier to get elements back if they're sort of copper is easy to get back, because it's so almost a native metal. So if I had silver nitrate, I should be able to get, you know, heat that up and get my silver, the silver back to it. I didn't quite understand or see how they were able to push the pens through the bag of water. There is that that thing I always find interesting, which is the hot ice, which is that sodium acrylate. It's acetic acid. Sodium acetate, very high concentration of sodium acetate will be in a sort of supercooled state to go through that. Had the supercooled water as well. Just trying to work all those facts out. So just the getting too deep into it, I'm just trying to think. There's these issues of people coming up with folk or snake oil explanations that have been handed down or somehow got into the system, and it's not very effective at flushing them out, or they get committed into it. There are these bulk explanations put forward by the employer, the provider, which has the sort of the force of history behind it. So a lot of, a lot of school science has within it the force of these commissions and history and historic facts which come in. And so they tend to refer to these a lot coming back. I was trying to think, there was dry ice ones. I sort of like the putting soap film on there. There was it. I did like putting the butane gas bottle into foam. You know, getting it to foam up and push it out. What I did find absolutely engaging was the two super magnets put inside bits of scouring foam, such that they held each other so you could clean the inside of a bottle. I have the dubious task of cleaning out a guinea pig's bottle of that, so I've come up there. This is the magnetic levitation, which is, I suppose, interesting to see. What I did rather like is a gyroscope with a super magnet in it, and a paperclip such that it was then sort of contoured the outside of the paperclip, which is sort of a very a very interesting thing to see. I suppose what one of the things that I suppose that interests me is the basic social media aspect of it, in terms of in terms of science education, science propagation, in that the sort of the classic science experiments that they roll out are not that rich in media, so that content, and so very much so it's very much of the thing of produce it, work on it, and eventually it will morph into the sort of the larger universe of scientific ideas. So you don't have to be like this podcast, that can be one or two people listen to it, that's perhaps it, but eventually it will build up to it. So I'm just really trying to think there was a interesting thing of being able to stand an egg on its top, by putting a little bit of salt on the bottom. I thought that was nice. The other thing is that the ability to destroy tempered glass. It disturbs me quite a lot that the fractured ceramic, so they're using the fractured ceramic of a spark plug, and the fractured ceramic of the spark plug, when thrown at tempered glass, will shatter it. So essentially, if I have shattered spark plug, I could throw it at a windscreen and destroy it. And that's what it's tending to indicate. I sort of can understand that. And it had those Prince Rupert, I think they are called Prince Rupert crystals. It's also interesting in that the actual glass is heated up and dropped into cold water, and so this causes a huge pressure gradient, and so the actual glass ball itself is ultra hard, but can be destroyed just by tapping the rear of it. So it just takes this, all this phenomena here, and a lot of them are at their I suppose the issue is actually the teaching science. A lot of the teaching of science is teaching sort of science. It sounds like science, but when you listen to students, it really isn't. I think the critical aspect of science is, I suppose for me, drilling kids in the idea of a hypothesis. And you can say certain things, like a house has four walls, and so I want you to make a house by having four walls. It's all missing. Hypothesis must be a prediction, but and people say a hypothesis must not be a reasoned hypothesis, in that hypothesis doesn't preview theory. So I hypothesize that if my sandwich goes missing, my brother has stolen it. Okay, so the sandwich has gone missing, therefore my brother has stolen it. No. That, you know, putting the hypothesis proves what your reason for it is not correct. If your hypothesis fails, it proves it's not there. So if I have a hypothesis, my brother always steals my sandwiches, and I put a sandwich out and the sandwich doesn't get proven, stolen, then we'll say, well, there's something, some element of my brother always steals my sandwiches are there. This is one of the important aspects of it. Now that's a predictive hypothesis, which goes a generalization. So you say that the specific case is, so if something is generally true, then all specifics following it are true, coming out. So then if I can get statistically enough specifics, I can grow in my confidence that the generalization is true. It's a very torturous process, but when you actually listen to a lot of science teachers speak, this is not true. So I'm just really trying to fit it in that the drill and reproduction of knowledge doesn't get it, and this personal consumption doesn't get it, but there's sort of a wide variety of techniques to try and get this up and running. So I'm just my thoughts are going back to writing my research paper and also the elements that I have to go forward and work on this. So I've got various temperature sensors and all that type of stuff working. So in my head, we have this problem that one of the things you can do with a state-run system is that you do have the luxury of an admirable luxury of saying this is in, this is out, these are the examples that we do talk about, these are the examples we don't talk about, and it's science is for the state-run system. It's a little bit more difficult when it's a consumed science is science entertainment. It's consumed. There's a sort of a certain fascination with seeing things happen. There's a sort of a wide variety of things, and it's not going to be feasible to actually pump the broad personal conception of science and shoehorn that in a meaningful way into sort of school science, sort of getting back to it in terms of that there's a strong credentialing with basically intelligence tests. So you essentially intelligence tests predetermined what people can do by your intelligence tests. Therefore, people are not going to explore that much. Much without, there is definitely not a questioning of what they're doing, and I don't think there's the one of the things is that there's definitely not a capacity to change the way things are going, and I think this is one of the things, this self-consumption, people find their way if they're interested, find their way forward without. Doing it. One of the things I think with the YouTube where you watch it is that you can see it, but to actually set it up, the actual model of setting this up is hard. I think this will almost break up into two papers. There's the the Wyndham inquiry, and then the digression. The dilution, and then basically, we should basically have cross country resources in terms of that. The Wyndham inquiry said that they should have all these components. What really should happen is that. It's very stupid for all schools to have super magnets, but a regional resource of super magnets, a regional resource of detectors to come through. I'm just keenly aware that there must be something incredibly, fundamentally, basically wrong with the thermocouples. Thermocouples I have jump around a couple of degrees every measurement, and that can't be right. There must be something wrong with it. But essentially, it's digitized almost straight away, so it's there's not much space there. I do have my digital. Ammeter, and I think perhaps that may well be the thing to do to actually use that as a measuring technique, because it definitely is struggling with it. The interesting thing is that it's 14-bit, which is 2 bits extra, but it's got more than four times the range. So it's got an extra 2 bits, which is a factor of two. So this is getting back to thermocouples. It must sound as though I'm raving. So look, I've had a good go at doing some exercises. I think it's a fantastic way to really ensure that you do sort of build up to force, and you just do strictly now. And it is a fantastic thing to get your mind really focusing while you're working on it. I don't know, it's going to be a real tough job for me to actually study something while exercising and then podcast on it, but I'm going to have a go at doing it. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.